each one in the Lord's house this morning. I want to welcome you to TIFF 20 Baptist Church. And if you're visiting with us, especially, we want you to feel right at home today. Looking forward to the services all day today. We're going to pray. As you know, our pastor's in Africa. Many of you do. And if you don't, that's where he's at this morning. He's already preached this morning. And so we're going to do something here in just a moment. We hope we can do it. And that is, we're going to see our pastor from Africa here in just a moment, all right? So let's go ahead, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin our services today. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be in your house today. I thank you, Lord, for each soul that's here. I pray, Lord, that you would do your bidding upon this service. Help us to obey thy word. Bless Brother Marcus, he comes to preach for us this morning. And bless our pastor as he's there in Africa. Keep him safe and healthy. And Lord, we hope everything goes well here just a moment that we can see him as we look at him this morning. I pray, dear Father, Lord, you bless each and part of the service in your precious name. Amen. Choir, I think I'm going to ask you to come down. Just come on down. We're going to try to zoom Pastor. He is ready to go here. We're going to look at the screen here. I'm going to, so that you'll be more comfortable to see him.
All right, can you hear me, church? Can you hear me, church?
Yes.
All right, well, Jambo, that's hello in Swahili. Yeah, Jambo. And I'm a little delayed here, so I probably just need to quit watching the feed, but good to see all of you, and God is doing a wonderful work here already. Had a great service this morning. Two men got saved. They've had some horrible flooding here. Many people have lost their lives. Landslides, roads are uncrossable, and even there in the slums, there were some that were not even able to get to service this morning. We had a great time. They were excited. My brother Marilla and his family want me to tell all of you hello and greetings. Also wanted you to know that I'll be putting up updates on Facebook. We'll be flying out tomorrow and going to Eldoret, Kenya. And it's about an hour flight from here. It's north of Nairobi, the capital city. Being much more primitive than here. And so you pray that everything will go well. Something that stirred my heart, two things, working with some of these men, talking to them in the last couple of days. These people need Bibles, and God's really stirred my heart to even possibly take on the Bible Fund as a missionary. These folks do not have the Word of God, and it's heartbreaking. And so they want it, and the pastors are trying to get as many as they can. And, you know, we only have limited funds to help ministries. We raise about $120,000 every year. And, you know, we'll give $30,000 worth of Bibles to Kenyans. And they're just, so anyway, that's something that stirred my heart. And then, you know, I've heard people talking about poverty and, you know, I've heard about the slums, but I was there today. And I've never seen anything like it. I've seen men digging in huge trash. I mean, and I can't smell that well, but it's right up against the road, and so when we drove by the road, it's just unbelievable. And those people are digging through that trash to get food. So, you know, a couple of things. Number one, we ought to be grateful in America. But number two, these people need the Lord, and these men are reaching these folks even in these areas. So I was just honored to be able to be in the slum today. He took me into his home. It's right in behind the church. And just an amazing thing. And so Brother Marilla was with us, you know, last year. Actually, maybe it was the year before last. And he and his family, his son is in the ministry working up north. And working with the Maasai people. So, you know, I just wanted the church to know the Lord's working in a special way here. We're going to be meeting with 30 of our missionaries tomorrow up in Eldoret, deal with some things. And then we found out, you know, we were thinking 100 to 125 pastors and workers at our conference starting on Tuesday morning. There'll be over 200 just pastors and workers and missionaries that's working here in Kenya and the bordering countries. So they're excited about us coming. You pray. We'll be teaching. I'm going to be teaching on the home and family, and then I'll be teaching a lesson on leadership, leading with the wisdom from above, and then I'll be dealing with the subject of lessons we learned from Jonah's life. And then Brother Ron's going to be teaching six lessons. Brother Emil's will be teaching six lessons. So it's going to be all day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I would covet your prayers. And we miss all of you. We love you. I love all of you. I miss being there. But I know you're in good hands. And then I also just want to say, if you're visiting with us today, please come back. I would absolutely love to meet you. And just want to say to all of our church, I love you and miss you. And we're doing well. You just keep praying that I don't get sick. God bless. I love you and miss you.
Let's say amen.
Isn't that good? I tell you, there's where technology's good. All right. Appreciate all the work's been done with Nathan and all that this morning to get him on here and on Zoom. And we just praise the Lord for that. And so let's pray for him. As he said, let's keep on praying for this good week here. And I know Miss Laura was glad to see him this morning, too. All right. And so let's pray for her this week and all there, too. And so let's go ahead. Let's have church today. All right. Let's take your hymn books. Turn to page 255. 255, everyone stand together. Let's sing the song. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing of earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him. Our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the Crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love abounded, wonderful, deep and strong. His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just want to remind you a few things this morning. As we worship the Lord today, a couple announcements. There are some dishes in the office, and some of you made meals for folks here lately, and there are several in the office. So if you would go back there and check that this morning on your way out, that would be good. Dishes in the office for meals that were prepared for folks. Do remember that. And then we're looking forward to this evening. Now, you don't want to miss tonight. Want to be in our places. And Brother Rudy Stenbridge is going to be preaching for us. He and his wife have been visiting. They are missionaries, and we're going to hear from them tonight. So we want to greet them and also be in our places and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Immediately after the service tonight, we did not do it last week. We're going to do it tonight. There'll be a Sunday school meeting tonight following the PM service this evening. So all teachers and helpers, if you just stay just a few moments after the service tonight, it would be appreciated. And then looking forward to the midweek service this week and all that on 7 o'clock p.m. there. And then you notice in your bulletin this morning, again, there's an insert for Vacation Bible School workers. If you're a member of our church, it's time to sign up. If you haven't already done so, please do it. Tell what you position you prefer, the night you're available, each night or what, if you need a nursery. And also, we always have shirts for everyone. And each worker will receive an $8 credit toward their shirt. So the t-shirts will be $8, the polo will be $16. So the sizes, everything's on there. So if you take that, put it in the vestibule back there. There's a basket there, and looking forward to what God has for us here, because Bible school's not far away. June 17th to June 21st is Vacation Bible School. So if you would sign up for that, that would be great. Men, our next prayer breakfast is soon here, May 16th. And so if you would go ahead and sign up there in the back, there's a sheet there. Sign up for the prayer breakfast so we know how many is coming. The Hoovers always do a wonderful job in fixing the breakfast. So if you would do that, it's 8:30 on Saturday morning, the 18th. I said the wrong date, the 18th. I believe that's what's in the bulletin, 8:30 a.m. All right, so do remember that and on that. Then looking forward to next week. We'll talk about next week, all right? Next week's Mother's Day. We want to honor our moms all around here. And so if you can have your mom here, that'd be great. Invite them and be here next week. And also we'll have a few things for some special moms who will be recognized next week. So remember that. Also next week, we're going to have baptism. You don't want to miss it. And we'll have two will be baptized. Brother Kramer's going to be baptized, and Audrey's going to be baptized. And so we're looking forward to that. So you don't want to miss these services. Let's be in our places, looking forward to what God has for us in each and everything. Let's everyone stand, and we'll sing page number 615. We'll sing the wondrous story. Page number 615. Everyone standing. I will sing the wondrous story. Who died for me? How he lived his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the cross. But Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by last verse. He will keep me till the river roses waters at my feet. Then I'll bear me safely over where the Lord once I shall be. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory. Now we're dismissed to junior church, ages 4 through the 4th grade. You're dismissed, and as they're being dismissed, let's fellowship with one another, especially our visitors this morning. Thank you. right, sing that chorus together. Yes, I'll sing. Yes, I'll sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Thank you, baby. Seated. As the ushers come forward this morning, receive this morning's offering. It's blessed to give today. Let's give our tithes and be faithful there to it. The Lord's work here. And of course, as missions, and that was on our, we saw that this morning, loud and clear this morning from our pastor. And so let's give to our faith promise giving. And of course, things around the building, giving to that. So they're all marked on your bullet, on your envelope there. If you need one in front of you, let's do remember that. And so we're just thankful for it. Again, my heart just overflowed just to hear a pastor this morning. Isn't it you? That was good. I'm glad it worked out. I'm always getting nervous if those things going to work out or not. Okay? But anyhow, I'm so glad it did. That was clear as crystal. I tell you, that was good. I tell you, it seemed like he was just next door. And so that's good. And we thank the Lord for it. So let's do pray for him. He asked us to pray for his safety. He will be here next Sunday. And looking forward to being in this place here. And he'll be coming back home. And he's got a long flight again. And not getting in until, Saturday evening, I believe. So he's got all that jet lag. And he's going to come here Sunday morning. So we're just going to have fun, all right? And he'll have fun, I'm sure. So we'll just take it all what happens. But lest you pray that the Lord keeps him safe and keeps him healthy this week. We want him to, all right? Let's pray for that. Brother Kern, would you lift your voice and pray for us, please? Amen. can need to trust our Lord, don't we? We need to trust him this morning. The pastor was talking about Bibles there and a heart there, and those people don't have Bibles. Let's take your Bible. Lift it up this morning if you can. Put it up there, all right? Look at there. Look at there. We have the Bible. Wave it a little bit. I like it. All right, let's wave that. That's God's word. We're thankful for it. Are you thankful for it? Amen. He had a burden. Those people don't have the Bible. Many of them do not. Do not. We're blessed. Many of us have more than one. Some of us have five. Some of us have 10. We are absolutely blessed to be able to hold this precious book. And I have it this morning. And I am, for one, sometimes taken for granted. Just because we're used to having it. If we don't have something, we lose something, that makes a difference, doesn't it? So if we didn't have the Bible today, it would make a difference, I hope, in y'all's lives. We have it this morning. So thankful for Brother Market here today. All of our men that's in the church is able to come and preach this morning. Give your undivided attention to him this morning. And God bless you, Brother Mark, as you come.
Take your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23 this morning. Psalm chapter 23, very familiar chapter of the Bible. And once you found it, I'd ask you if you would indulge me, and then we'll all stand and read responsibly this morning. That means I'll read the first verse, and you read the next verse with me, so on and so forth, down to verse 6. Let's all stand as we honor God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our pastor and what he's doing in Africa. I pray you bless him and keep him safe. Put a hedge around him. We just thank you for his burden for the lost in that area. And I pray that we will gain that burden in our hearts also. But Lord, we're here this morning and you're with us. And I pray you would speak to our hearts and encourage us as we face the things that we must face in this world. I pray you bless us now in Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, thank you this morning. I like the old hymns. I like the melody of the song that she sang a while ago. Just a wonderful melody, just an uplifting, just the melody itself was just so uplifting, and I enjoy that so much. If you have your Bible, and look in verse 4, that's our text verse this morning. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I notice that the word, it talks about valleys here, the valley of the shadow of death. Or the Bible says has a lot to say about mountains and valleys. And many times when the Bible refers to a mountain, it's talking about an iconic event. Like on Mount Sinai, that's where the place where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which we have here in the Word of God. And Mount Moriah is where Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son Isaac on an altar. But God, you know the story, God provided himself a lamb, and it's a picture of what Christ, God did with his own son, Christ, and he gave his own son for us. And then on Mount of Olives is where Jesus prayed before he went to the crucifixion. And it's also the place where when Jesus returns to earth, he'll return to the Mount of Olives. very significant event. In that Mount Tabor is where the transfiguration of Jesus took place in front of his disciples. He was transfigured into his body that he would have. Now these are important events of influence and testify of the power and the purposes of God in our daily lives. Now, each one of us, many of us here have had, in your own personal lives, you had mountaintop experiences, things that, was significant in your life. Say, like marriage. I remember the day that I got married. How could I forget? Amen. I mean, all that led up to it, I remember asking my wife to marry me. We were driving down the road in a little Volkswagen, I think it was. And a little Beetle. And I asked her to marry me. And she said she would. And then all started that. And we've been married for quite some time. 50 years, my wife and I have been married. 50 years on the 18th of this month. And that mutual decision to promise, to commit, and to honor one another for the rest of our life, that's a big moment, isn't it? It's a significant moment in our lives. And having children, and praise the Lord, grandchildren. I remember when Sarah was born. Both my daughters were born at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Not the same Sunday morning, but different Sunday. And I don't mean anything, but I remember it to this day, what a blessing it's been to have two girls that love me and I love them. And that the natural responsibility that comes with taking that young baby and provide for them, to teach them, to train them, to love them, and until they themselves can take up the mantle of their own lives. That's a great moment. Salvation, being saved, is a great thing. I got saved as a young boy, and like many people, I got away from the Lord. But later on in life and marriage and children, I found out that there was more to life than living in the world, and God changed my heart. And salvation is a great thing, knowing that I don't deserve the gift that God gave me. And Christ died for me on the cross and took upon himself my sin. And because I put my faith in him and I believed in that, I know that someday that I'll be in heaven with him and also my father and my mother. I look forward to that. Now these great events really in life are few and far between. I mean, we can't have a big mountaintop experience every day. But every once in a while, there'll be an event in our life that changes our life, and that's the path of life we take. Now, we live in a day where everybody seems to want something new, and they want something exciting. They get bored with something, so they try something else. But that's not the way life is. The truth is, we visit the mountain once in a while, but the truth is we all live in the valley. Take a drink. It gets thirsty in the valley. We don't dwell on the mountain. The mountain is a place of experience. Is that we experience it once in a while and we get excited and we reach the pinnacle, but in reality, we live in the valley. Have you ever been to a Signal Point there on Signal Mountain? And you can look over Signal Point and you can see the River Gorge go through there. There's a mountain on both sides. And you can see the valley going through there. I don't know what the mountain is on the other side, but I know where Signal Mountain is. And but if you're down by the river and you look up, these mountains on both sides kind of tower over us. And those mountains kind of represent the decisions that we make in life. And we will live in the shadow of those decisions in our life. As the mountains have provide a shadow down by in the valley, the decisions that we make and the influences we allow in our life is the valley that we have to live in. Valley is where we struggle to live in the path that we have chosen. Marriage is an institution created by God, but sometimes is it not true that it's a struggle? It's a struggle. Marriage is a struggle sometimes. And the things that we face, the things that we go through, and the problems that we have, it's a struggle. We live in the valley. Another thing is in raising children. Children are a blessing from God, but there's so many sleepless nights, so many tears, so many heartaches, sometimes regret. I mean, it's a great thing to have a child and have them born and hold them in your arms. But raising children is a valley that we have to go through. Salvation is, being saved is a glorious thing, knowing that I'm going to heaven and I'll see my parents again. But the reality of it is, even though there's exciting times, most of the time, struggling to be the Christian that God wants us to be is a valley that we have to walk through. It's hard. And sometimes we can't see our way through. You know, the ministry is Pastor and Miss Laura can attain to, and several people here. Being in ministry is a great thing, to be called into the ministry. Oh, well, how exciting it is. But it's a struggle, is it not? It is a struggle to be in the ministry. Ministry is full of disappointment and discouragement. And I can just go on and on. Because, see, really, life, real life, is in the valley. We all live in the shadow of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. There is no guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know that. We live, every one of us live in that shadow that a phone call will change your life. A diagnostic test, and the doctor comes into the room, and your life will be changed forever. I remember my dad, I'd see him, and he was coughing all the time. I said, "Dad, you gotta do something about that cough." And I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm so nervous. So he went to the doctor, and all the family was there, and they told him he had 6 months to live. Then Debbie had a best friend, and I had a best friend. And my best friend dated her best friend. And her best friend dated my best friend. And me and Debbie dated. Well, they got married. Her name was Rhonda. His name was Don. Man, life just started. She was pregnant. Boy, they was excited. Debbie and I was planning on probably getting married later on. I was a slow learner. One day he was going to the work, and here their life is all out ahead of them. Baby coming, jobs, everything seemed like this. He went over the hill, and and went airborne, and he came down, and his wheels were turned, and he flipped over the side, and the car hit him right on the top. Killed him. Just like that. You never know. We live in that shadow, don't we? That shadow, that valley, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Or to even today. So, when will it be you? Or maybe you're going through that now in your life. But when will it be you? When will tragedy and heartache and disappointment and hurts and trials and death and separation, when will it happen to you? When the bottom falls out and there's nothing to stand upon, and we fall further and further into the abyss, wave after wave of trouble and misery, what do we do? Now take your Bible and look at our text verse in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now notice that. The author says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he says, "I will fear no evil." The word evil there means hurt or misery and sorrow and trouble and vexation of spirit. It doesn't say that you will not face evil. It says that he will not fear evil. He says, "I will not fear hurt, nor misery, nor tragedy, nor trials, or disappointments, and no death, or sacrifice." What he's saying is this. When in your valley, when trouble comes, don't fall into the abyss of depression and discouragement. You have to raise your valleys. The way to get through it is to learn how to raise your valleys and make your valleys higher so you don't go down so deep. You know, we can say, we can fall into, I've seen people that they struggle, something happens, and they ask, "Why? Why has this happened to me? Why am I facing these issues?" And they fall into the abyss of depression, discouragement, and losing their faith and their hope. We can either do that, or we can raise our valleys and make our valleys higher so we don't go any lower. We can say, "I will not let this evil destroy me." I read a story of a woman, a lady, who lost a young child. And she was devastated, as any parent would be. And so the Lord began to work on her life, and the Lord helped her turn her attitude around. And so she decided, "I am not going to get depressed." And she went and she looked up people and in paper and the hospitals of mothers who had lost children. And she would go to the hospital and visit them and encourage them with the encouragement that God had given her. That's raising your valley. I knew a guy. Was Mariah back there? Yeah. My dad was a guitar player. He wasn't as good as Mariah, but he was pretty good. He used to play, and don't you ever do this. My dad used to play honky-tonks. He's dead now, so I can tell you. And there was a guy that used to play with him. I forgot his name, but he was blind. He was a blind, drunken musician. Well, he got saved, this musician, guitar player. He played with Dad. And so when he got saved and he was blind, there was no Braille Bibles. So he, instead of getting bitter, he began a ministry of raising money to make and to print out Braille Bibles. He did. You know, in life, when we live through the valley, we can either choose to be depressed and discouraged and mad at God, or we can use this thing, the problem that we face, and say, listen, I'm going to make it good. Of course, just up the road from us is the Bill Rice Ranch. And Bill Rice's daughter had became deaf, and he got a burden for deaf people. So he started a ministry, a camp, where just deaf kids would come and people would lead them to the Lord. And tens of thousands of young people have been saved because one guy walking through the valley decided to raise his valleys and said, I'm not going to go down deep. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm going to take this and I'm going to raise my valley so I don't go down so daggone far. Now, I'm going to teach you, and these are my thoughts, how do we raise our valley when you face the terrible circumstances? When you face death or tragedy or misery? How do we raise our valley that our life isn't ruined by the circumstances? In Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now notice it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me ask you, young people, middle-aged people, and old folks like me, who's your shepherd today? Is your shepherd money? I mean, is your shepherd sports or hunting and fishing? Sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry I put that in there. I'm not talking about you. I mean, who are you following today? But I'll tell you, I guarantee you, when you face tragedy and heartache in your life, when you're in that valley in your life, they will not be there for you. But when it says here, the Lord is my shepherd, that means when you walk that valley, the shepherd is there with you. He's your shepherd. And the best thing you could do this morning is put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be your shepherd. And raise that valley. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now notice the word he maketh. He's not asking him to lie down. He's not offering to lie. He said he maketh him to lie down in green pastures. If you want to raise your valley, sometimes God has to knock you down and make you listen to what you need to hear and what you need to do. He said, he maketh me to lie down. We need to yield to the shepherd. If the shepherd tells us what to do, the natural thing for me to do and possibly you to say, I don't want to do that. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But the best thing you could ever do is just yield yourself to the shepherd and let him put you down and knock you down and put you in the place where you need to be. The men here in the church, I've worked construction all my life. I worked with my hands. I enjoy working with my hands. And I have worked with all kinds of men. I'm telling you, and men don't like to be told what to do, and I don't want to believe it. I'll tell you right now, you need to allow and yield yourself as a man to God. Number three. Notice in verse 2 it says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. So can you imagine a great storm and waves just crashing upon you, just one problem after another, one issue after another, one tragedy, one misery, one sorrow, one disappointment after another, just on and on and on and on. But it says here, he don't make you go, but so he leadeth you to the still waters. That quiet little place where you spend time with the Lord. Man, he leads us to the place of calm confidence and knowing that God is taking you to this place. Are you with me this morning? Have I put you to sleep yet? Listen, to raise our valleys, we have to get to the place where God leads us to the calm, still waters. And we can be at peace. When the storm is going all around us and it's crashing and there's problem after problem after problem, if we have confidence in the shepherd, we have peace in the midst of the storm. Remember the boat, and Jesus on the boat, and the disciples all scared for their lives, and Jesus said, what are you worried about? And he calmed the storm. I'm not saying that God is going to heal every wound and take away every misery. But he can give you peace of the still waters. And it raises our valleys, and so we don't go into the depths. Number four is be restored to the shepherd. It says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Isn't that encouraging words? Have you ever been away from God? Have you ever been close to him and then because of discouragement and the problems and the heartache and the misery, and you get so sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're just discouraged. And we take our eyes off of him and we take our eyes off of his promises and we begin to look at the circumstances. But if we'll simply take the time to turn to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need you desperately. He will restore our soul. Amen. Number five. In verse 3 it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now here he answers the big question. He answers the question of why. Why did this happen? Why did God allow this? Why was all my hopes and dreams taken away from me? Why somebody I loved taken away from me? Why do I face all these problems? It says here, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for what? For his name's sake. He allowed it in your life so you can bring glory to him by raising your valley to the place that you have joy and peace in the midst of trouble, in the midst of misery, in the midst of disappointment. In the midst of death, you can have that joy, and people will say, look at them. I want what they have. If God did that for them, he can do it for me. He answers why. What I'm trying to say to you is that every one of us this morning, and maybe some of you here this morning, right now are facing these issues in your life. And it seems like it just keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. And if it hasn't happened, it will happen. And the thing to do is not to fall into the abyss of depression and discouragement, but to raise your valley so you don't go so deep. Now look in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Then he says, look here, "For thou art with me." Thou art with me. You know, so many people are striving to be on the mountain. I live on Signal Mountain. I'm not rich. Some people there are, but I'm not. People will pay $1 million for a lot on the brow so they can look into the valley. And they people want to live on the mountain. They think, well, listen, if I get up on the mountain, I'll be okay. Well, I know some of them, and they may live on the mountain, but they live, they dwell in the valley. They have problems like everybody else. Let me tell you a little secret. A lot of times I'll talk to young men about, oh, they're having trouble at work, they're trying to get goals in their life and stuff. And I said, listen, all you got to do in life is do the best job you can at what you're doing now. Be honest, be on time, work as hard as you can, and be the best employee you have, and then everything else will take, it'll take care of yourself. Your future will take care of yourself because it'll get around that you're a good man or lady. Let me tell you a little secret. Raise your valleys and the mountains will take care of themselves. Don't worry about the mountains. Don't worry about exciting and all those great things the world has to offer. You just take care of the, raise your valley so that you don't fall into the abyss of depression and discouragement when that trouble come your way, and the mountains will take care of themselves. Amen. I ask you this morning, listen, are you in the abyss? Are you going through trouble after trouble after trouble? Listen, don't get discouraged. Raise your valley. Amen. I wonder how many this morning, I tell you, you say, man, my life is going good. I got a good job. I got a good wife. I got good kids. Everything's going great. We live in the shadow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. It could be you. It could be you. It could be me. Listen, raise your valleys in your life. Amen? With our head bows and our eyes closed, and I ask you this morning, can I ask you this question? If the Lord touched your heart, would you say, listen, Pastor or Brother Jerry, that's me. I needed that this morning. I'm facing a valley. Or I have a young family and I want to be ready when it does come. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I'm telling you, we all ought to raise your hand when you don't know. When we stand in a moment, if you raise your hand, would you come down here and say, Lord, make me, heal me. Restore my soul. Would you please stand if you want to come here? The altar is open for you. Please come. Thank you.
altar is open this morning, come down. Have a need in your life, give it to the Lord. You're here this morning and don't know the Lord Jesus, your personal Savior. You're in a shadow of itself there without Him. You come down this morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind yourself that you're a sinner, you know your sin. Believe on Him, believe what the Bible says, that He raised from the dead, He was crucified and raised the third day. Believe on Him by faith. There's folks here to help you this morning. If there's one like that today, you come. Folks are praying. How about you there at your seat? This morning, aren't you thankful that this morning for the message and the messenger, but also just to remind us this morning, we need to raise our valleys. We need to raise our valleys. We need to just keep raising them so we don't sink in this old wicked world we're living in. But I'm thankful for the person who's on the other side of the shadow, and that's Jesus Christ. He always follows us. Where your shadow goes, He's going with you. Always remember that. It's a great comfort, great psalm. Thank you, Brother Jerry. And I'll be back tonight. Looking forward to the message tonight. My Brother Stembridge want to be here in our places here and ask the Lord to, again, give us a great service. Again, want to say to Chris and Nathan there, thank you for all the technology there you did for us this morning. We appreciate that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed as we leave today. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you, Lord, for the reminders here this morning to us that, Lord, that you're always there with us, and, Lord, you'll help us in the shadow. I pray that, Father, Lord, we can fear no evil, that, Lord, we can trust you. Now, Father, Lord, bless each one. If there's one here that doesn't know of you as their Savior today, help them to realize they can come to you today. Help them to come to one of us and talk to us, I pray. Now, Lord, guide and direct us. Bring us back, every one of us that's in this auditorium this morning. Help us all just to make an effort to be back in your house tonight, and I know you'll bless each one for it. Well, thank you for it. In your precious name, amen. God bless you.